New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome back to Vanderpodcalypse Now. Hello, hello. You might remember my voice. I'm Rebecca Lee, but Jason is out of town. He's in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, the East Coast. And instead, we have a dear friend of the podcast, Brian Fernandez, and he is a podcaster, a writer, a Vanderpump aficionado. What else would you be?
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't be here if I wasn't a Vanderpump aficionado, but thank you for having me. I'll do my best to fill in for Jason and bring all of the sharp observations that he brings.
Yeah, it's important that you keep it.
I'm going to do my best.
Keep it tight, keep it sharp.
Keep it tight and sharp. Those are two things. When I think of Jason Warden, I think...
Cut tight and sharp.
Cut tight and sharp.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Absolutely.
Is he listening to this?
No.
Okay. Good. That's probably for the best. No one should listen to this. I mean, except you listeners.
No, except our listeners. Also, I just got an incredible note today that I want to shout out from Samantha Estep. Hopefully I'm saying her name right. She said this lovely thing about how she enjoys the podcast. You know what? That's all I need.
That was enough fuel. You just, what's her name?
I'm a tyrant now.
Yeah, you just fueled her for months,
I know.
Maybe years.
It's
with
so good.
One
it's
email,
so good.
One message. Now,
just
it's
do
just,
a line of text messages and DMs, please. But before we start, I just want, you know, we love Vanderpump Rules. You want to talk a little bit about your origin story?
Yeah, well, I mean, it involves you. I mean, so I was a reality TV snob for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think I was only watching competition reality shows like Top Chef and Project Runway. And then, you know, we started dating and you would...
That's right. We're dating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
we're dating.
That.
Sorry. Should I, is that...
Well,
is that
I
weird?
Mean, I probably cringe you to some
secret.
People, but I spread the good word of Vanderpump everywhere I go, including my romantic relationship. So that should be no surprise.
Yeah. And like any good boyfriend, I wanted to take an interest in my partner's interests.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're so
rabid,
passionate about
rabid,
it. Rabid.
A freak.
Excited. Thrilled by it.
Fucking freak.
I mean, you just, it's contagious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was also over the pandemic when there wasn't a ton to do. So we needed an escape from reality. And there's no better escape than Vanderpump, truly. And I honestly, and you hyped it up. Like you said that season two is one of the best seasons of television, scripted or unscripted, that you'd ever seen.
Which is how it was sold to me by my dear friend Erin Leaf, also a guest on the podcast, sharing her Vanderpump views, for sure.
It's spreading around like a virus.
Like a virus.
And so we went back and, you know, went through it all. And I was skeptical that it could live up to that hype. And... truly,
don't
it did.
Fucking doubt
it
me.
Did.
Don't
it really
fucking
season
doubt
two
me.
Is a masterpiece. You know the way they strung those lies out and the way it all comes together at the end. and the punch in the face. I mean, it's just it's brilliant. And I've tried to spread that to some of my other reality TV show snob friends that only watch scripted or like prestige TV, mm-hmm. and it's almost gotten them, but it's not quite yet. But I do think you can stack this up against any of the season two, especially. I know other people are partial to season three, mm-hmm. and some people are partial to season six, but I think for me, the magic is in season two. And like, yeah, once Jax admits the Kristen. That they got the cheating. It's stunning. It's a stunning reveal.
Stunning reveal. Well, so happy anyway. You're here.
So now I'm in and I'm hopeless. We also started Housewives over the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We also
now you're watching Housewives that I've never Miami.
Miami on my own. Yeah, I do. That's my own. Exactly. That's my show. That's just for Daddy.
Jesus.
I've never called myself daddy before.
Here you go. It's the first year on this podcast.
Right here on air. I might cut this out. I'm in charge of this.
No, you're not going to cut it out. You're not going to cut it out. You're not going to cut it out. We break up if you cut it out.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Well. That's it. But let's get into it. We also have some news that we talked about before this.
A lot of news happened. Very important. Outside the show.
Yeah. First thing I want to bring up is that Vanderpump has stopped filming.
Yeah.
For an inexplicable reason. We don't know. They say that they needed a break, I guess.
Andy said that sometimes it's just good to take a break. And we used to do that with the Housewives all the time. And we just need them to live their life. And it's Vanderpump's their cash cow right now. They would not just shut this down without a reason. Mm-mm. Well, I think TMZ speculates that it's because of the Love Island shoot.
Mm, that makes sense. I was like, Ariana's did someone set themselves on fire?
Which then some people
did
on...
Hippie set himself on fire?
No, not Hippie! Graham Hippie. I mean, James would be devastated.
Yeah.
He can't go without Hippie. He can't even leave Hippie overnight.
No, he can't even do it.
Allie, on the other hand, might be kind of happy. She'd be fine with it.
She's like, that sucks.
Oh, no.
C'est la vie.
Uh-oh. So other people then took that to the next... logical step, which is, that's why Sheena and Lala are so mad right now at Ariana, especially, and talking so much shit about her in their little press junkets that they've been doing.
Yeah, they are really talking some shit. Lala's talking some shit about Katie and her scarred face. I was like, again.
I didn't see that. That's fucked up.
And again, we had a conversation with my cousin, and my brother and I went out to Jax's this week.
You've been to Jax's.
I've been to Jax's maybe 17 times this week. I live at Jax's.
Number one customer.
I am the number one customer.
Still haven't never seen Jax.
Yeah, I will say, though, I've not gotten food poisoning from there, which is more than I can say for fucking Schwartz and Sandy's.
Yeah.
We can go through. We'll probably do an episode where we go through all the restaurants at some point, but not right now. Anyway, we talked a lot about Lala when we were at Jax's, and oh my God, this comment. I was like, okay, yeah, you're right, Lala, you know, she's about growth and change, but now I'm like, don't comment about Katie's fucking face. That's really fucked up.
She fell through a goddamn window, a skylight?
She did.
That's like Batman shit. I always think about that. I think about Batman.
Katie's
Batman, yeah.
It makes sense. Aesthetically, it makes sense to me. Also, Katie is empirically very beautiful like the rest of the cast. It's like, all right, thanks, Lala.
Yeah. Anyway, that's such a low blow.
I know. Fuck you, Lala.
Disengage. My message to Lala, disengage.
Okay, well, if she's listening,
yeah.
I hope she takes it to heart. I hope so. Other more interesting news to me is that Rachel Levis's new boyfriend, we got a photo of him. He looks like a divorced... so there was some kind of headline, and it was Levis's new boyfriend, Matthew Dunn, single dad and entrepreneur. They led with single dad.
Single daddy.
He looks like a dude. He looks like a fucking like OC car dealer dude.
Yeah, well, I saw a clip that was... I don't know if he was doing a bit or what, but he was like, I will sell the most cars this month.
He's just like a dude.
Oh. Yeah.
He's like a normcore dude who probably has like a... modern apartment complex that's like up top a mall. Like, I really got that feel from him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got a very like structure, like a very specific bone structure, which I guess like is vaguely handsome, I suppose. But I was just like, wow, what a turn, Raquel, from James to Sandoval.
To this guy.
To guy. This, just, to man. To clip art man.
Yeah, to just generic man.
Cool.
If you go to an AI, if you go to Midjourney and you say, give me generic man from this guy Orange shows County, up. It's this guy.
Wow.
But I get it because she, I mean, I don't know what this particular guy is like, but I can understand wanting to just date somebody who is like completely removed from all of it.
Yeah, you know? I get that. I mean, the pendulum swings that way. I get that too, but I'm like, interesting. How long will this last? What does this man smell? You know, I need to know what he smells like. Like, is it like a... Like, well, now I'm thinking he's probably has like an old like obsession for men from TJ Maxx.
Yeah, I was thinking obsessions are awkward to Gio, which is too awkward good for him. Off-brand awkward to Gio, and it's too much of it. Whatever
it's
it
too
is,
much of it.
It's
yeah,
too
maybe.
Much of it.
And I think that's all the news we have. All the Vanderpump.
No, the lawsuits.
Oh yes. So the lawsuits, the filings came out today on Ariana and Tom Sandoval's side. And I read a little bit more on this. It's the lawsuit that Raquel and her legal team served them about the video that was shared.
Well, because there's a thing called a slap law, which is basically designed to prevent frivolous lawsuits. Mm-hmm. So if you can prove that the lawsuit that is being brought upon you is frivolous with enough evidence, then they can just dismiss the case. So both of these are asking to dismiss the case.
Yeah. I didn't get into Tom Sandoval's legal team's response, but I did read up on Ariana's response because we get a little bit more about the very beginning of Scandoval in these court documents. And Raquel is using Bethany's legal team, right? Do we know that for sure?
I do know that the guy who is the lawyer, his brother is also a lawyer for Tom. They're two brothers, and they're on either side of this case.
Get them on the show. Insane. Two brothers on different sides of this case?
It's nuts. Ugh. It's nuts.
I'm obsessed with it. I didn't know that. Well, anyway, Ariana's side of things details the fact that it details the first moments where she sees Tom's phone and she sees Raquel's video. And, like, what happens next. So we're getting, like, a little bit of insight that we've really never gotten before, but they detail in this proceeding. And basically, it's she takes him outside the venue to talk to him about it. And she sends the video out, I believe, first. She texts Raquel that she's dead to her. And then she confronts Tom.
Which, by the way, in the screenshot of the text, it's so heartbreaking because there's all these nice texts that are like, can't wait to watch you on What Happens Live.
Because at this point, as you probably know if you're listening, Raquel and Sheena are doing Watch What Happens Live in New York. So they're there. Ariana's at a Most Extras show in Los Angeles. And, oh my God. So she confronts Tom behind the venue of the Most Extras show. And he grabs her phone, slapping her cards, like her
wallet
ID,
and stuff out of
on the ground. She picks it up and he runs. He runs away like a little baby
takes her phone.
Bitch.
He takes her phone and runs, yeah.
He fucking, I mean, classic. I mean, if you want to see who Tom Sandoval is, he literally slapped his partner's shit out of her hand, grabbed her phone to try to delete what he knew was bad on her phone. And he knew exactly how to delete it because he's a fucking liar.
Yeah, so she specifies. She says he deleted it from the phone and from the recently deleted folder.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I have a pretty good handle on technology and stuff. I had no idea that was a thing on a phone. Only a scumbag who's trying to get rid of shit knows that there's an extra delete the trash thing that you have to do on a phone.
He's a cheating, disgusting liar. And in this moment, in these documents, we see it. We experience it
even more
again.
Even more. It's crazy.
Fuck
the more
you.
Details that come out.
You were probably wearing an aloe hat at the time. Ugh. Anyway, let's get into the episode. Thank you. Lots of news this week. But this episode, all right, I would say. I don't get as angry as maybe the last one. We start the episode at something about her. We've got Katie and Ariana. They are entered the fucking bargain basement art house that is something about her. Women all over the walls. Women doing things. Paintings. Nude women. Clothed women. The theme is women. It's a Nancy Myers fever dream of pastels, and women, and also boxes from the internet. There's a whole side of the room that's filled with just, it looks like Ariana and Tom's house, actually.
Yeah, honestly, she's replicating it at her place of business as well. But then there's also the loaves, the giant loaves of bread.
Oh, boy, behind, oh, boy.
Which make no sense to me. I don't understand.
They're the fake. Because it's like, from my untrained eye, I was like, they cannot be real because there's no food in this place.
Yeah.
But they're not actually serving food. They could be real. Maybe I'm just hungry. I'm not sure. But I was like, huh. But I was like, no, they're not real. This is literally like.
That's set deck. That's set deck shit.
It's truly like, there's this place in my children's public museum where I grew up called Old World Wisconsin, and nothing's real, but it's like loaves of bread, yeah, it's like cheeses. Yeah. It's like, are we in a reality museum right now, just waiting to experience what the promise of a sandwich?
It's like they're leaning into how fake it all can be.
Yeah, it's
they're
so
like,
oh, fucking Lisa Vanderpump.
It looks fine.
It's like,
yeah.
You fired Lisa Vanderpump's shill. You can make it better. But they don't want it. They're not into that.
They just need to, well, at this point, they do just need to get it open.
And they will. They are, clearly.
May 22nd, this week. This week.
Right?
Yeah, May 22nd, they announced
May 22nd.
Night.
Who's going to wait in line with me for a $25 soggy Greek goddess sandwich?
That is going to be the experience, too. You're going to wait for 45, maybe an hour and a half.
To get in to see those women in the...
And they're not going to be in there.
Frames.
If they were, it'll be like, oh, they were in here earlier.
No.
And you're going to wait out in the sun because there's no canopy. We saw that canopy's
baking.
Going back.
Oh, yeah. The canopy's like in a crumpled heap next to the boxes.
God,
oh,
it's so sad.
Boy.
That patio was the best part of the whole thing. That's the other thing is like the fact that they got screwed out of the patio somehow, I feel like is a travesty.
But also, wasn't this a restaurant before they bought it?
Yeah.
They could have just kept it a restaurant.
It really,
it's so complicated. Why is everything against code when it was
the
place
previously that was code?
The
whole point, it was like, oh, we're going to get a smaller place, but it was a restaurant, so it's all up to code.
God.
You know, I do know West Hollywood is tough to open a business in, but people also...
How do you know?
I've heard. I know.
Yeah.
The West Hollywood, like, government, because they're their own city,
mm-hmm.
and so they're very intense about... everything.
Mm.
You know, it's West Hollywood.
I think Lisa just has a grasp. Remember when she went into the city council meeting because people were
advocate
like...
advocate against
raising
the minimum wage?
She's like, darlings, they shouldn't have minimum wage. Make them too happy and then they won't be productive.
How dare
darling.
You make us pay them more money?
it's like Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil thing going on.
I never claimed to do a good Lisa. Mm,
that's true.
But they... shit, what was I gonna say? Something about her.
Her?
No. There's a few conspiracy theories out there now mm-hmm. that either there's some people who I think have gone too far by saying like, oh, Lisa's holding up the permits and things, which I don't think is true.
I mean, I love it,
but I could buy it.
Fuck yeah. Lisa's fuck you.
But I also
you.
Don't think she has enough power to do that.
Yeah, that would mean Lisa is literally owns West Hollywood, owns it.
Yeah,
and I think there's maybe more powerful people than Lisa in West
Hollywood.
You
have to be a Chinese billionaire to be pay off local government officials to get things built or not built.
I don't know, maybe she's got some
But
friends.
People do think that Penny... She was so broken up in this scene where she's like basically telling them like don't cut Penny out is because she was able to kind of pull the strings for Penny.
And that's what
people think that that's the reason Penny has the trademark. Because by the way, Penny and her husband own the Something About Her trademark.
Saw?
Yeah.
What? The invaluable trademark of ugly ass sandwiches and sans or no serif font, I guess.
Yeah, they should. I don't
so
know.
Fucking lame. All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, yeah,
we're talking about.
Sorry,
it's okay.
I'm excited.
I will say, very happy to see our girl Ann Maddox. Mm. She is working the counter,
friend
baby. Friend of the pod.
Always so happy.
Uh huh. She's keeping busy. She's keeping those fake bread loaves nice and organized.
Ann always has the best exit lines too. Uh-huh. She's always like, I'm gonna go organize some stuff in the back.
Yep.
AKA
yep.
go home because I'm done with my scene.
Yeah, I gotta go. But not before she meets Lisa.
No,
Lisa
I know.
Comes
That's
in.
Nice.
She gives Lisa a nice deep curtsy. You got a curtsy, like, Janana.
I've met you before.
And she's like, yeah, that's cool. It's great. And Lisa's like, goodbye. Leaves a little turns. But then she's like, did you steal her? From Sandoval? Did you? You dirty dogs? And they're like, no, not really. And she's like,
She's trying to stir up shit.
But then Ariana says, well, we have a female-centric business, so it's good. It's a good fit. I was like, so you just mean because she's a woman?
Yeah.
I was like, and that, with that logic, just hire Raquel. With that logic, just hire Billie Lee or Miami Girl.
Yeah.
Exactly. Get them all
bring
in
Miami
here.
Girl
Get them
in.
All in
Why
here.
Not?
Get Beyonce in here. She's a woman.
As far as we know, you could, any woman will do. According to
woman, female-centric, women-centric. It's so funny. Lisa asks them when they're opening, and they talk about the health department stuff and how that's really hard. They don't want people to ask them when it's opening. Then Lisa starts listing off the repairs that need to be done. And
Lisa
Katie
knows all of them.
Yeah,
somehow.
Lisa knows all of them because Lisa's trolling them.
She's
and, of course,
shit.
She's got Chef Penny in her pocket.
Yeah, well, that's
she's
the thing.
She's got a Chef Penny in her pocket.
Penny in her pocket.
Lisa, we realize, knows that there's a big problem with our friend Chef Penny. Penny wants to be one of the three musketeers with Ariana and Katie, but they are not into that. They want her to be the 15th musketeer-ish, be way back there. They want to own the business. They don't want Penny. But again, like you said, if Penny is not involved, Lisa is less involved. And
right.
So Lisa, and you can see from this conversation, you can see that Lisa wants to be involved and she likes Chef Penny. And I guess we also talked about this last night. Chef Penny is like a reality TV villain, right?
Yeah. Penny, I didn't realize this.
I didn't know this either.
That she actually competed on the Food Network Star Season 7 and was like a notorious villain, was like somebody that people hated.
Mm.
I was trying to find more information about this, mm-hmm. and I found a comment that I have to read.
Let's hear it.
So I found a Reddit. It was a Reddit thread on r/Food Network. We love Reddit here on the pod.
We do.
Jason's a big Reddit guy.
We're so big
trying to bring
Reddit girlies in here.
Yeah. And so this someone posted 4 years ago, Penny Davidy, a real jerk or product of masterful editing. And it's a discussion on whether or not her villain persona is real. But the real gold is down in a comment of a comment deep in the inside the comments here where, somebody named Irish Ape 24.
Hell yeah.
Comes in 1 year ago, so 3 years after the original thread.
It's been sitting there in the internet for 3 years.
Every other comment is from 4 years ago. This person just jumps in and says, I just watched Man vs. Child, Chef Showdown, season 1, episode 9 with Penny Davidy from 2015. I think she was such an arrogant bitch, 4 exclamation points. Totally deserved everything she got in the episode. She is rude, full of herself, and it was a joy to see her get knocked off her own damn pedestal. I immediately did a search for her to see who else thought she was a bitch and found this thread rather quickly. I thought for sure, with her attitude, she would be from New Jersey or the Bronx. New Jersey or the Bronx catching strays for some reason. But raised in Hollywood isn't a huge difference. She's like a real-life wicked witch of the West. 6 exclamation points. I should also note that they did have some tact and they... censored bitch. They
That's
put a
good.
Star where the eye should be.
I'm glad this Redditor found their community.
Yeah, they found it. I got one more. This one's from 2 years ago. So this was someone before the other person, but after 2 years after the original thread. This is Diarrhea River Queen.
Hell yeah.
Says, I just met her at work, total bitch.
Chef Penny. Wow.
So she was on Chopped, Cutthroat Kitchen, and then Food Network Star.
Wow. So. I want to know if she's the one who caused that horrible Sir review, you know, where someone had like explosive diarrhea and vomit in one of the dining rooms.
Maybe that's, you know, Diarrhea River Queen.
Oh, well, good. Then she should. I'm surprised she used a lot of restraint.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, just met her at work. Total.
Oh
bitch.
My god!
Incredible.
Thank you
for your work, Diarrhea River Queen.
Anyway, I think it's totally reasonable that Ariana and Katie want to have the restaurant as their own. I think that makes a lot of sense. Lisa's trying to insert herself. It's very obnoxious and very transparent. Yeah. And also, Chef Penny sucks.
And rude of Penny to want to change the deal. Because what they were saying was, we had a deal, we were going to salary her and then give her a percentage, 10% of the profits, which is not nothing. That store is probably going to do business.
Yeah.
And so that's a pretty generous...
Now Chef Penny wants more.
Penny wants ownership.
Penny wants more.
So then
more.
She went and snuck and got the... I wonder...
She cried to Mommy, Lisa.
Mommy.
And she's like, help me, Mommy. And Lisa's like, I'll talk to them, darling.
Get the trademark.
Uh-huh. And then we have this weird, flashback of being like...
Oh, yeah.
Lisa... It's a flashback, essentially, of Chef Penny... interacting with Lisa over the years. It's like, shit.
The only clip that they had, because it was a zero.
Yeah, they're like, your food is making me fat. And she's like, well, how do you know if you like it if you don't try it? And that's it. That's all we got.
You gotta taste it.
Wow, it's pretty good show. Anyway, that's what they do. There's not really a lot of resolution except that Ariana and Katie are pretty firm in their ground. They're not the Toms. I'll say that.
No, they're not a pushover.
Yeah. And they've got firm, clear boundaries.
Which is great. I think now that they've actually muscled through the tough part and opened the thing, I think it's going to be, like I said, we're going to wait 45 minutes or an
hour
and a half.
For a disgusting sandwich.
For bad food. Bad food. Bread that's been sitting there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But it's going to be there.
Like Boar's Head. It's going to have Boar's Head meat.
I want to do a competition between the Ralph's sandwich that you get at the deli counter.
With the something about her. Yeah, absolutely. Pastrami. Her. God, gross. Okay, anyway, from here we move to Kyle Chan's jewelry shop and grill. No grill. Sheena, some redhead named Pete, whose lower third is internet personality, and Tom Sandoval. What a fucking dream team here. love it. They're all convening in their secret lair that is Kyle Chan's jewelry shop. I love how they give Tom Sandoval a little edit that he doesn't quite know how to get in the door. He's like, he gets in.
He pulls instead of pushes or something.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot.
He has to
idiot.
Buzz in, and Kyle's like, oh, what are you doing?
Uh-huh. But Tom Sandoval, if you didn't notice, is also wearing the Thunderbolt necklace in the scene, which I'm like, fuck you,
God,
you
he
tool.
Just can't.
Just stop. Or lean into it. Do one or the other. Don't be in this middling ground of what the fuck ever. There are these this place is decorated like a fucking main. This is like Meow Wolf. I'm just like, what the fuck? Why are the glass pieces on the wall? I'm just like, this looks, I would never buy anything from here. I would be more prone to buying things in a Vanderpump property than in this jewelry shop. Anyway, Tom comes in. Sheena's on guard. Is Tom just helping with this? She needs to know what Tom's role is. She needs to know. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to manage or whatever you need to rent something locally.
Well, Vanderpump makes a key error here where they rely on Kyle Chan to deliver story.
The mystery man, Kyle Chan.
Well, I'm thinking because, you've done 30 shows, you should help out and you know how to put together a show. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird and awkward and clearly coming from the producers that are like, we have to give Tom a fake job
finale. Kyle, come here. And Kyle's got his little apple head chihuahua. Yeah. In fact, if I would cast anyone as the role of Kyle Chan, if we had to cast people in the Vanderpump Rules, my mom would be sitting in a jewelry shop in a kind of tiny chihuahua and just ordering people around. I love it. Yeah. Opening a whiskey? Sure.
Why not? But he is, I mean, it's so ham-fisted. They clearly were like, we need Tom, who doesn't manage his own band. He does.
No.
He has a manager. He employs people.
No, we need to get him in here.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're going to be in charge of local hires.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Production manager, Tom Sandoval.
He has to interact with Sheena.
And in his brain, he's like, oh, cool. I can hire new friends. This is great networking for me. This is very
cool. That's an opportunity for him.
Opportunity, man.
Kyle knows he needs all the friends.
And then he's fucking talking head. He starts fucking crying. He's like, anything I can do to pay him back. Anything I can do for him. He's one of the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. I was like, how many people do you know? This is one of the coolest motherfuckers on the planet? There's 8 million people on the planet.
That guy stuck by me, man.
Billion. Oh. There's 8 billion people on the planet.
A billion. Yeah.
No, eight billion, right? That's how many people
but
walk
Kyle
the
Chan
earth?
Is the coolest.
Kyle Chan is the fucking coolest.
The coolest. And this is like exhibit A in like, I'm such a good guy. My friends that have stuck by me, I'm going to repay them.
No, they're assholes too. Kyle Chan's an asshole. And again, what is the man's sexual orientation? I need to know.
Ambiguous.
Bring out the partner. Best. Bring out the partner.
Ambiguous at best. That's the dog.
Kyle Chan is worried about what happened at the pool party. He's referring to when Sandoval called Sheena the other woman.
Again, more incredible story work from Kyle bringing up. He's like, we need you to bring up what happened. Like, they need to hash that out before. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, God, you can see the machinations when it's coming through somebody like Kyle. You can just see the
so
scaffolding
stupid.
Behind the
And all of this is really very stupid, I will say. It's like Sheena's like, you know, I've never forgotten how good of a friend you were to me and how, you know, she had to pick a side. Ariana did nothing wrong and Tom doesn't understand why it has to be that way because you're an asshole. And then fucking Kyle Chan chimes in, don't continue to torture him this way. It's like, who's torturing him? I don't understand. Who's torturing him? He has a job. He's on the show. He is unrepentant, incredibly obnoxious. Everyone's just trying to exist around this man. You know?
Yeah, like, if he really didn't want to be tortured, he should just not be on the show and not be forced to be with these
that's
people.
That's never going to happen.
He would never do that.
Exactly. So he just doesn't want to be to him, accountability equals torture.
Right.
And that's where we're at.
The fact that he faces any blowback for his actions is just
horrible. Anyway, we're into a new scene, mercifully. It's Lala's birthday and they're getting ready. Lala tells Sandoval and Sheena that he's not invited to her big 33. She FaceTimes them.
The courtesy of a FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. A courtesy. And then he makes, Sandoval makes some kind of reference to gluing the pottery back together with gold.
Yeah.
What, is that a thing?
It's called Kintsugi.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. It's the name of a Death Cab for Cutie album, and that's how I know that.
Oh, wow. White man here. We got a white man.
I'm a white boy. And so it's when... But the interesting thing about this is the way he phrases it. Because what Kintsugi is like when something breaks, when it just like something falls off the thing or breaks or whatever, you put it back together with gold. Like you use gold, like liquid gold to like mend the seams and stuff. And it's beautiful. It comes out really great. And it ends up like the broken thing becomes there's beauty in the brokenness.
That is, very beautiful. The fact that Sandoval referenced that is lame to me, though.
But the way he says it is, you know that pottery thing when you break something? It's like when you break it. So in his mind, you do it on purpose. You break the thing and then you put it back together. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's not just like when it happens.
No, Kintsugi is not, this is not Kintsugi. You and Sheena's relationship is not an ages-old Japanese art form.
No.
Sorry.
No. It is not that. It is, and the way he's thinking about it is like, well, you have to break it first, and then you can fix it. And it's like, well, you didn't have to break it, dude. Like,
no.
You didn't have to.
But then Kyle Chan pipes back in again. He's like, got disinvited before you got invited? And Tom's like, I'm used to it. It's like, God, why?
Honestly, though, you did it better than Chan did it. Like, that was more interesting and impactful than the way he said it. He's just such a, like, there's just nothing behind anything he says. So it's like, it's so weird. He's like a person who should not be on TV.
No, but he is.
Sorry, Kyle, if you're listening to this.
I'm not. Okay, Lala's heading to Bathtub Gin for her 33rd birthday, her Jesus year. I actually like her dress. I know it's very scant, but I'm pretty into it.
She says, I had to get the bod out.
She had to get the bod out.
She had to get the bod out.
Sometimes you got to get the bod out.
Sometimes you got to get the bod out.
Sometimes you don't leave the bod at home. You take it out on the town.
Take that bod out.
You take that bod to show Heather McDonald what you're all about. Heather McDonald is there. Podcaster.
Juicy Scoop's
stupid name. Nothing like Vanderpodcalypse now.
No, it's not even close.
Lala does a talking head. Every year she gets more badass. Yeah, okay. I mean, great. Very empowering. Schwartz rolls in. Also, there's a woman in the background that looks like Pink. I was like, is Pink in here? Is this the fucking pop singer Pink at this event?
No, that was actually just the back of Schwartz's bleached hair.
Oh, fucking Schwartz, you dumpy-ass motherfucker. We'll get to you. Oh, we'll get to you.
Coming.
Don't you worry. Then a woman named Toby Taylor performs a kind of knockoff Dita Von Teese. And she's doing, and you know what? She's good. You know, it's fine. It's good. James, she's still wearing more than Lala. She's like, of course you're going to say that, James. Well done.
James is basically just, that's his role this season, is kind of just
commentator. I mean, Lala is also kind of like that, which I think
I would rather her be that than.
Oh, then like, I'm softsk.
I mean, my soft era and like doing,
Yeah, absolutely. Sheena's joking. Brock doesn't know where to look, which is annoying because you're insecure about Brock. It's Lala's birthday. Lala's wearing nothing. It's interesting that you're saying Brock doesn't know. You're very nervous, and you, in this edit anyway, she says that a couple of times, even though like Brock is there and Lala is there, and it's like Lala's wearing nothing. Lala's, you know, it's kind of setting up something that I wish would happen, which probably won't, which is them hooking up. Anyway, we learn though that Brock was raised in the Mormon church.
A Mormon church in Australia,
in
right?
Australia. An Aussie Mormon.
Yeah, I don't know what the Mormon church is like in Australia. But
I don't know.
That's crazy. I want to see a crossover between Brock and Heather Gay.
You want young Brock.
I want young
Brock. You want the show
young Brock. Yeah, that's right.
Where he falls in love with a pig farmer's daughter.
Also thought he was going to be a farmer and a Mormon farmer, basically.
Yeah, I mean.
There was a path of Brock's life that would have been a Mormon farmer.
Mm-hmm. Now he's here
now
with us.
He's at bathtub gin.
Oh, my gosh.
Not knowing where to look. So this reminds me of something that I just heard in the after show. I was just watching some of the after show, and they're flashing back to talk about T, that girl from a couple episodes ago.
T makes an appearance here,
and because she's in this episode. So they ask, Sandoval's talking about her, blah blah blah, and they ask Ariana about her, and they say, "Well, how did that come about?" And she's like, "Well, I was sitting next to Sheena," and Sheena says, "Who's that girl my husband's been talking to for so long? You want to go get a water with me?" And then that's why they went over. They made it was to manufacture an excuse for Sheena to go break up the conversation with T and Brock. So Sheena really is on patrol for like
Sheena is threatened. She's threatened.
Yeah.
In a way that she shouldn't be, because you know what? Her husband has a family back in Australia. Her husband's not a good person.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. She's like, he's left one family behind.
No, exactly.
What if he leaves another one? Yeah.
And any rumor to get under her skin will get under her skin because, yes, obviously, all of it is aggravating because of the prior actions of this bad man. I don't know. Schwartz looks like shit. That's all I have. Sheena talks about how she was with Sandoval at Kyle Chan's figuring out the performances, and Ariana's sitting there. She's like one giant eye roll at this point. She's like,
her face,
her eyes are like stuck at the back of her head.
Rolling into the back.
And Ariana, in her talking head, she's like, she feels like she is being gaslit. She's like, hello, he is an asshole. He's not, but even like, he's not Sheena's friend. You know, like he's nobody's friend. What evidence do we have, aside from like bad lip service, that he really wants to make amends or be anyone's friend? But Sheena, it doesn't matter, because Sheena wants to be friends with Sandoval so badly at this point, and this is like her journey.
She's just decided that this is
But she's going to make it as like obnoxious and overbearing and painful for people around her as she's not going to be like, we're friends. Like, she's going to make him work for it in a way where she thinks that it's an interesting storyline, and it's just like, we know you're going to be friends. We know it.
Gonna
it's fine.
Happen, and you're going to cave to all of it. And leave, you know, Ariana's feelings behind.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Because Sheena comes first.
Always. then Brock and Sheena are talking back at home. They're packing for their trip. They're all going, of course, as we know, to San Francisco.
How many times can they talk about San Francisco?
San Francisco. Well, they're like, the biggest tourists on this trip. I've never known the cast to be such big fucking Tool tourists as they are. I was like, is it because you got all of you are like 40 now and you're like, cool sweatshirt, San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco treat. I love Fisherman's Wharf.
One of those shitty, like tourist trap souvenir shops.
Yeah, exactly. But before we go, they're packing for, of course, a roaring 20s party.
God,
a Bravo sanctioned roar. When are we done with that? Can we do at least like a roaring 30s depression party? Can we do a roaring 10s post-Victorian party? Like, there's so many eras that we can have.
Like a 50s party.
You guys don't all have to look like fucking dumb fucking broke waiters in their beaded little like fucking gangster thing. I'm so sick of it. Everyone's sick of it. Let's not do it.
No more flappers.
No more flappers. Call to arms. So Brock hasn't been to San Francisco or had rice-a-roni. I mean, of course, guy didn't know what Play-Doh was. He hasn't had rice-a-roni. I don't think he knows what that is, Sheena. Dan and Ariana are together at last. They're eating dinner before they travel to San Francisco at a place called Fia. Ariana has never been in a long-distance relationship, and she's trying to take things slow.
Although there's an interesting... The tone of this... there's a moment in this dinner that is very interesting where she's like, what if you move to Los Angeles? And he's like placating her, what if I did? which made me think like, this is not all sunshine and rainbows here.
It's still so new, and it's like he's thrown into this insane situation. And I think Dan is very attractive, and I think he is also real in that, like, this conversation he mentions he has many jobs. He's like, I'm a personal trainer. He's like a hustler like they used to be, this is Ariana's job, you know, along with like hosting. You know, it's like it's just like a different, they're in different worlds on different coasts. And she was, you know, in her talking head, she's like, sometimes, you know, I'm going to bed and he's waking up, you know? And it's like, because he's a normal person who like is doing work in the world. Not that she doesn't do work.
Right.
But I think they're in totally different spheres and seemingly income brackets as well. And you know, like, what is he supposed to do? Say, yes, I'm going to move out here to be with my reality star girlfriend.
Yeah, honestly,
in the wake
if he did that too soon, if he does that too easily, that's also like, you know, a little weird. But, you know, which is what Lala's keying in on.
Yeah,
you know,
which is, which again, it's one of her moments of like, that's, you know, she gets to be the chorus a little bit when she's not being utterly obnoxious to me. Then we move to the El Rey. Tom is playing trumpet.
This venue's too
iconic
cool for,
venue
for this. These people
for
this
Tom
man.
To shit on.
Yeah,
it's like the people that have played the El Rey through the years of its inception. Now we get Tom Sandoval, who cannot play trumpet. Everyone knows this. He's like warming up his shitty trumpet chops. Tom's mom, Terry, is there. You remember the firefighter hero who put her life savings into Schwartz and Sandy's, only to get it all pretty much blown up by her own son? She's there.
Yeah, I saw someone take screen caps of her in the audience with this, like, pained face, like sort of smiling but pained face. And it says the captions was something like, the face you make when you see where your life savings went.
Yeah, it's true. it's true.
Right into Tom's trumpet.
God, this woman is a saint. And then she says, when she is, are you going to talk about this?
Oh, no.
On her way in, because she's out in the crowd. And it's like, she's not even in the VIP area.
No.
She gets let in and she says to her son, who lost her fortune.
Yeah.
I've been out there forever. God damn it, this woman.
He let his mom wait out there forever.
Just languish in the crowd of most extras fans?
God.
Fuck.
It's a sparse crowd, which I've heard people say that they think that they sweetened the crowd, the applause in that bill.
Of course they fucking did. T is in the VIP room.
Oh, yeah, T's hanging out in the back.
But
his mom.
Sandoval's own mother has to sit out there with the fucking plebes.
The firefighter hero with no more life savings.
No more. God.
She's of no more use to him, so she doesn't get VIP.
Ugh.
She gets to come in for one final, and it was like right before the show too. They were like, oh, we got to go out there. Like, oh, and they're like, what? Now?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
It's like, God, you got to bring your mom backstage for longer than 5 minutes.
Mm. Anyway, James is there too. Tom performs Let's Touch in Public, which also, if you don't remember, was with his old bandmate who killed himself and who was also a big conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, he kind of went off the deep end towards the end of his life. I think he might have gotten deep into like some intense conspiracy stuff.
I mean, but don't worry.
He dusts that
post-mortem.
One
yeah. Tom is still capitalizing on your bad song. Yeah. Very, very dark. But don't worry, because not only is Tom Sandoval's mom just being fucking thrown around in a Most Extras audience, Joe is also there in a trucker hat.
God, Joe
thank
is there.
God, we really have.
We thought we had seen the last of Joe.
Thank God we haven't.
We thought we were going to be relegated to her Instagram lives.
Mm-mm-mm, thank God. I mean, listen, I'm obsessed with her Instagram lives. I'm obsessed with her. I'm so happy she's there. I'm
Joe
so happy she's in a trucker hat. I'm so happy she's singing along to Let's Touch in Public.
Yeah.
The song of a band now defunct because one of them unalived themselves.
Yeah.
It's so dark. But then Joe, my favorite part maybe this whole episode is Joe. She's in her hat. She's fucking listening to the song. She screams, I love them. They're so good. So amazing. Obsessed with it.
Joe knows
this
how
is
to hype up.
Really prime VPR. After the show, Joe and Tom Schwartz talk outside. It's very awkward, but they're still in their mode. And this is another great part. Not as good as I Love Them, They're So Good.
Oh, no, it is good,
but
though.
Where Joe is like, ha, doing bits in front of the L-Ray. I'm doing bits.
She started doing robot voice.
She did robot voice.
No, voice and
she's in
body.
A place of robot voice.
God.
She's like, us, she we're fine. We're good. I mean, robot. I am fine. Are you fine? Are we good? We don't fuck. No, we just hang out.
Dude,
we're best
I'm
friends
fine.
Now.
Johnny
we're going to San Francisco.
Five.
She's like, we go to San Francisco. We not have sex. We are just friends.
Friends.
She's so amazing.
If someone was like, oh yeah, she's actually an alien, I'd be like, ah, you know that. Mm-hmm. I get it. She's like a Men in Black. You rip off the trucker hat and you've got a little tiny head under there trying to be a human.
But a tinier trucker hat under there.
Yeah,
and
it's
tinier trucker.
Hat.
She comes with the trucker hat. The alien is the trucker hat. Actually.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, alien
all of her
operates from the trucker
in the
hat.
The trucker hat. That's right. That's why she needs so much hat.
Yeah,
there.
She does. She's a lot of hat under that hair.
She's all alien hat.
Uh-huh. Thank God she's coming to San Francisco. Great.
Yeah, she really, they were like, no, you're going to be in the show. Mm-hmm. You do not get to walk out. When Tom Schwartz treats you like shit,
no.
You have to be here and deal with it.
Yeah.
In your most awkward way possible. Because we don't have anyone else on camera. So please do this. We cannot give Kyle Chan more work to do.
No. We need you here. We need you,
we
Joe.
We need you to take up screen.
And then she has a talking head. This is like really her first and only, and she's sitting cross-legged.
She's like on her knees or something,
which
right?
is like an ADHD. I feel like it's a very, she
I
has got
that.
A very ADHD vibe here.
I will say I have some sympathy for her in that, like that she, you know, she is all over the place, but.
Listen,
and it's,
she's my hero. I love her so much.
It's a shame that she has to be on TV and get ridiculed like that.
It is a shame, but she also loves it. So it's kind of both, right? Sure.
There's a different context that she could be endearing if I didn't constantly think back to how she knew about. She was like the
she's
fourth
a liar.
Conspirator.
She's a liar
in
but,
all of it, you know.
Yeah, but I'm also like you're a, kind of a prisoner of circumstance in a lot of ways too.
A little bit, but she's either lying to everyone and to herself.
Yeah,
that
they're,
she
but
didn't
all
really
liars,
know
yeah.
what was going on.
Yeah.
How could anyone know? But, we were just going to Big Bear together, the four of us.
I know, but like, of the liars. Of,
yeah,
the
of
liars,
the liars
she's the least liarly of the liar crew.
Yeah,
you know. Again, I'm sounding like a Joe apologist, but I just love her so much.
I mean, she's great. She's one of the more endearing people on the show.
Love her,
and I'm not going to go as far as to buy a Joe My Gosh hat.
I mean, they're hideous. I mean, her aesthetic is hideous.
I know
her fashion is abhorrent.
It's so bad.
Shameful. And you live in LA, girl. You've been in LA how long?
Get it together.
Like, you're not, again, we're from the same city.
Yeah.
I was like, we are not back in Milwaukee circa 2003. Okay?
No.
Let's get it together. You're a fucking stylist.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway, she says in her talking head how he gives her mixed signals. She reemphasizes this. It's like, girl, and you're still hanging out with him. You know, like.
Although yeah. the first thing he comes out and literally the first thing he says to her, having presumably not seen her since their little hallway breakup, or her running out of his apartment and him yelling down the hallway, Joseph,
Joseph.
It's like nails. When he says Joseph, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
So bad. I mean, her real name is like Mackenzie too.
Is it really?
Yeah, she's real. Kaylee.
Holy shit.
Kaylee, I think it is. Incredible. She just changed her name to Joe.
That's
brilliant.
Fantastic.
Love it. That's so Vanderpumpian.
But the first thing he says to her. And God, I really hate the way he talks to her.
Yeah,
it's so like diminutive and like just,
pandering. Yeah,
yeah, it is. And he says, "How many dudes did you fuck?"
Yeah,
you know,
God,
it's like, what
it's
the
like,
fuck?
I know,
like because he's trying.
It's
hard.
So fuckboy.
He's trying to put the gauntlet down. That's like, remember, we're not gonna do. We're yeah. not in this relationship, but I still have to make a joke about it. But I want to bring up sex. Like it's so. Weird and
he's drawing a line in the sand. Yeah. He's like, remember, we're bros. That's why I can ask you about who you fucked because we're bros.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to ignore the fact that we were literally in a relationship where we said we'd love each other and slept together most nights out of the week.
Yeah.
But which, like, bros.
By the way, I don't know if I've heard anyone say this, but he lied about that on the show.
Yeah.
Like, he lied about.
He's a liar.
I know everyone on the show lies to a certain extent, but. He straight up said, she's my roommate. He called her his roommate mm-hmm. for a long yeah. time. My yeah. roommate, Joe. And like, and clearly that was when they were in the middle of their whirlwind romance. Now, in retrospect, like, they were fucking and in love mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like, so he was hiding that from the show in a way that, like, and pointing things towards Raquel. It's just like... Mm-hmm. God, piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
It's even more grating that he tries to play it off like he's not.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do it. Like, that's...
I know. That's the thing. I think it is. It's his mist.
It makes him more
Big
sinister.
Brother.
Yeah.
It's his his charm. His inherent charm that throws people off. This real stench of Schwartz.
It's wearing thin. It worked on
yeah.
me for a while.
Well, it's wearing thin now because... You can only do it for so long, and the lies can only be so small, big.
Your
you know?
Actions can only stack up to, like, you can only...
This was a big thing to try and cover up. Anyway, the next day they get on their airplane. This airline has real spirit energy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is a real, like...
Frontier.
Ooh, like, are we going to be okay? Is this plane going to go down? Is this like a Boeing situation? Is something on fire? Like, the seats were like narrow. I was like, wow, they really spent. And again, it's a commuter flight. You know, they're just going to San Francisco, which
is
like
a quick flight. It's like 40 minutes.
Yeah, something. It's like nothing. But even still, I'm like, Jesus, you guys going to be okay?
Yeah, is everything?
I was worried. Sandoval says in the plane, he wouldn't mind meeting Dan, but it's going to be really low key if I do. It's like, you fucking, first of all, you don't get to decide that.
Yeah.
Why
does he get to dictate the terms?
Yeah. But don't worry, they go from an ugly ass plane to an ugly ass hotel. This hotel is giving Big Brother house.
Yeah.
This hotel is like Verbo party vibes. Like, what? It's like nobody has ever stayed here before. You know, very like, but again, you know, some Ariana and Dan's room, larger, you know, whatever. Sandoval's room, tiny. Schwartz's room, hard to say because he's always in Sandoval's room. You know, like, I don't know. Ariana and Dan, in their room, they talk about how they're going to do different things that night. They have different plans. Schwartz comes in shorts to Sandoval's room and says, "You're going to meet Dan?" And then Sandoval says, "I should give him the lowdown like Ariana did with T." It's like, no, fuck you. It is weird. Okay, so then they're getting acclimated in their shitty hotels. But then they all go outside to the streets of San Francisco. And it's very weird. I don't know if you felt this way. To see them all like bundled up in like coats and things.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so odd. They're like bundled.
Yeah. Well, you got to bundle up in San Francisco.
Yeah, but they don't go on vacations like that. You know?
No. They go on beach vacations and stuff. You're right. This is this equivalent to the... in terms of how shitty of a cast trip it is to when Utah went to
San Diego?
No, didn't they go to like Arizona or something?
Oh, yeah, they went to Scottsdale. Tucson. No, Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. It's the Scottsdale trip. It's like, in San Francisco, I know, is a great city, but the way they're treating it and this hotel and it's like, God, there is nothing aspirational about this at all.
No.
It looks like a sad trip.
It's like my trip I took with my dad when he had an arbitration in San Francisco, and I had to sit in like a hotel room, and I was like, I just want to see the seals and Ghirardelli Square, and he would take me, but it's like, all right, now we're back to the hotel conference room.
Yeah. Bundle up. Oh, there's that. I said this last night, but that Mark Twain quote that's like, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
They're feeling that quote.
Love it. It's true, and it's fucking true. I spent some time up in the Bay Area, and it is... I always was underdressed for the wind and the fog, and it is freezing in that
city. Yeah. And so are they. They go into a tourist shop all get these tourists, but not before, and I love this moment, Schwartz mistakenly grabs Allie's hand.
I didn't see that. That's funny.
Very fun moment where Allie's like, oh, I almost grabbed my hand. Ooh. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh. And Katie's like, never held my hand. Never held my hand. It was such a weird, very funny. I love that. So they buy a bunch of like horny ass fucking sweatshirts. Stupid shorts.
These
like
are
turd colored San Francisco sweatshirts.
Adults who should know better.
Like, I know. Just bring a coat, you fucks.
It's like you can make that mistake when you're 25, but it's like
Check the weather. The Toms talk about how everything is rocky at Schwartz and Sandy's, and Tom really wants to get back in. He's kind of weaseling his way back in.
God.
But Schwartz ignores everything and says in this moment that he's ready to commit to being Sandoval's roommate. And Schwartz does a fake proposal with whatever he has, like sealing the deal on the fucking boardwalk.
More bullshit that they thought was gonna he practiced that. I guarantee you he thought of that the night before and was like, oh, I'm gonna do this, is gonna be so funny. I'm gonna do this, like the pre-planning of these moments. And the same thing, I feel like it's the same thing when he went up to Katie and did that, like, I just want to do nothing with you. Like, I feel like
you think you're a producer and you're too stupid to be a producer.
Clever little fun moments and they just fall completely flat.
Yeah, just get drunk and cheat like you do. They're trying to do things that they don't do. They're just like, they're getting older and they think that they're producers. You know what? That's not your skill set, my friend.
Clearly showing through. Yeah. It's like, God, just don't try that.
Oh, my God.
So but Schwartz has come full circle on, I'm never going to do that. The optics are horrible, too. Yeah, let's move in.
Yeah, because then I'm sure in his head he's like, oh, I need a storyline. Like, he's trying.
Yeah.
He's getting desperate. He's getting maybe not the best feedback. Hello, listen to the pod. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right, I guess you're fucking moving. You're a couple of 40-year-old white men moving into a insane mortgage together that you think is going to be fruitful. We will find out.
They talked about that on the after show a little bit. The little quick clip I saw was they were saying that because Sandoval was like, we're still working out what's going on with the house. And I don't know. We might. But if we don't keep the house, then we might just move into our own. Like, we'll rent a house together.
Great impression.
We'll just rent one, you know. It'll be cool. It'll be fun, you know. We're going to start businesses together. So that's what they want to do is, they're thinking of it as,
They should actually start an MLM from their
house.
As,
a hype house. No, they want to do, content.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's what they
course.
Want.
Dude, you guys are fucking you're not teenagers in a hype house.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
Sandoval's like, you know, we got this podcast together, and we were thinking about all
they
this other stuff that we
together?
Could do. Everybody loves Tom. They both do it.
They both do it?
Yeah, I think so. I think Schwartz
is that still happening?
Oh, yeah, it's still happening.
Oh, if anyone still listening to this right now has listened, holy shit, I need to know what's going on in their podcast.
I read the recaps, but I can't listen to it. But it's, and they've got, they've got their other bros, Jason and
the
other guy. I think Chan goes on there every now and again. I think
of course
Kyle
he
Chan
does. Billy Lee, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And they think of themselves as like
Israel.
Oh, oh my God.
Get T in there.
What's that? The new assistant, Craig.
Oh, Craig.
Get Craig on the mic.
God.
It's so that they're fancying themselves as like, oh, we're going to move in together and start making content, which is just like, God. And although Jax is in that talk as well. And he's like, the way things are going, I might need to move in. Save me a room. You know?
Oh, actually, let's get back to that those Craigslist days.
Yeah. Honestly. They made a joke about whatever that house was, 551 or whatever they call it. They're like, oh, we'll just move back in there. Put the sheet up.
They talk about it like it's cute, and it's not cute.
Yeah, no, it's just gross.
Anyway, they board a boat, all of them, named Wine Therapy in a horrible font.
Oh, is that the name of the boat?
Yeah.
I didn't even catch the name of the boat. I knew it was going to be bad.
James screams, San Francisco, baby! And does a like a dance on the stripper pole. Are we sure that he's not drinking? He's on something. It's not booze, maybe, but it's something. James asks if Joe is coming, and we learn that she is. She will be there tomorrow. Sandoval weirdly reminisces that him and Ariana took their first trip to San Francisco way back when. Happy times. Happy times.
Was that the bottle of wine that,
that she drank?
She drank, yes. From that fucking trip.
Mm-hmm. Lala says that she feels like she's on the Titanic, which is right. She's not wrong. That's how I feel watching this. So
yeah, the whole season is the Titanic. It's going down. We're sinking right now.
Oh, my God. Ariana talks about her biggest fear being afraid of waves and how it's pretty choppy out there. And I think that I thought about if they all died on this ship right then, if like they all went down. And I was like, this is a little too dignified for them. They should all die in like a carbon monoxide poisoning in the hype house. Like that's how they should really go. This is far too swinging on a pole on the Wine Therapy ship.
That's
too dignified.
It's too good for them.
It's too good for them.
It's too good.
We see a lot of seals.
Seals.
That's fun. I think that's fun. On dry land, Brock asked Ariana how it was with Sandoval on the boat. And Sandoval says the scenery's on point. Ariana's arguing circles around Brock because he's kind of insinuating that she should get over Sandoval. And this scene... kind of interesting because she's much smarter than he is and he's a fucking idiot and really doesn't understand like the nature of trauma and is a hypocrite about it because he gets very angry and heated and is a very passionate
she says something about male rage and he's like, show me an example of male rage.
She's like,
and
then you're looking at it.
They cut, but then they do, the editors give them like four examples in the, like all split screen.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
It's like, honey, this is all being filmed. Don't forget.
Yeah. This whole show has a long tradition of men yelling at women.
That's true. Although Brock says, quote, I can't speak for women. But you are. You literally you are right now. And Ariana, she's like, I'm a gray rock, which I think means, I didn't look at what that, but like, you know, you're impenetrable and like you're not moving, like you're, nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. You're just existing.
I don't know. That makes sense for the imagery of it all. But I know that it's a technique that people use specifically against or, you know, to deal with...
like narcissists?
Yeah, like abusive people.
Oh.
And so it's like if you... Because what they're looking for is like an emotional reaction. And so if you give them nothing, if you just go to zero and you don't respond and you don't give them anything, eventually they'll move on. Mm. And to somebody else,
it's
they
like
can get a reaction.
A bear. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Deadly
it's
animals.
Like a bear. Just gray rock that.
Yeah.
Bear.
Although Ariana's not doing that. Ariana's not gray rocking it.
She's really not.
I mean, but again, you know,
but
how could you?
How can you expect
it's like,
I mean,
she's a human being.
To be in this,
but I like that she's.
Where her quote unquote friends are, you know, cozying
slowly,
up.
Slowly. Yeah. Just like there's so many levels because they want to be on the show and they want to be her friend and they want to be on the show. And they want to be on the show.
And they really want to be on the show. And they're going to need storylines.
And
they don't care
and
what
Tom
it
is the storyline.
Take the storyline. Give it to me.
Yeah. So then Lala comes. They all recoup in the room before the party. The big roaring 20s party.
Wow.
Lala
comes
into Ariana's room and sees a half-naked Dan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's like, whoa. She sees his like beautiful long locks and his perfect body. And she's like, why isn't he coming to dinner?
She's like, Where's that?
She says something. She's like, "Your body's amazing." I forget.
Nice bod.
Yeah,
or
something like that. We're just like, oh,
on
okay.
the way out, though, she has a whole conversation, and then her like parting words are like, "Nice bod, Dan."
Nice bod, Dan. Yeah, something. I have it written down here somewhere. Meanwhile, Allie and James is in a bubble bath, and Allie comments on that's an intense bubble bath, and he's like, "It's just a bubble bath."
Not
and she's
really.
Like, "He's like, I get a yeast infection in that bubble bath." I was like, "Oh, I didn't realize this is like a point of contention in your relationship."
Yeah. What?
Wow. And then Allie's like, don't you think it's weird that Dan came to San Francisco, but he's like not really hanging out? And I was like, fair point. But also, like, it's a very weird situation, too.
I get it.
She's, I mean, it's essentially like Ariana's working. And then after work, they hang out,
the
kind of.
The thing that I am frustrated most about, not most about this season. There's a lot of frustration about this season and other things.
I don't have any.
No, none. None that have been poured into microphones on this very show.
No.
But just the fact that they still feel, after all the Scandoval shit and all the fourth wall breaking and all the interaction with fans and how much back and forth, they still kind of pretend that this is not a show. Mm-hmm. That this is not, that they're not here because they're filming a show and they have to be in the same area because of the show. Mm-hmm. They still can't talk about the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
But what show just, can, you know?
No, I feel like I've heard of... of some of the later stage Housewives shows doing that a little more.
I mean, I guess like Salt Lake City, we'll talk about like internet stuff. But I just think it's still like such a hard thing to navigate when you know it's because of the show, but you have to make up a different excuse or like work your way around that.
At this point, with the amount of engagement that specifically this show has, it feels like so fake and disingenuous. You know, when it's butted up against things that felt so real and visceral last season.
Yeah, I think that is right. I just feel like I don't think they're going to allow as much as, I don't know. I don't think that we're in a place, at least right now with that show where it's like, you want it to be on the show kind of a thing. You know, like even like with Raquel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, she's not coming back to the show. It's like, she doesn't want to be with me.
With the friend group, yeah.
Yeah, or like whatever.
The quote-unquote friend group.
Yeah.
But the friend group thing reminded me of the last season, like when Katie kept saying, don't get with anyone in the friend group, that was code for don't fuck anyone on the show.
Yeah.
And then he went after Raquel specifically.
Yeah.
And then tried to say that she wasn't really in the friend group. But it's like, no, she meant the show. And it would have made that storyline so much more interesting if she had just been like, don't bring it on camera. But like, I don't know. I guess I understand why they don't do that. You know?
And also, would we want to watch a lot of language like that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Maybe
honestly.
Not. Maybe not. But it's just, some of that stuff just rings so false to me when
you know. Yeah, because we all know. But that's, it's kind of a secret we all share.
Yeah. It's true. It's a lot like wrestling. I told you I was going to draw the parallel to wrestling. Mm-hmm. But like, it's like everything's a little bit real and a little bit fake. Mm-hmm. And everyone's kind of pretending that there's this kayfabe, this like, reality that we all pretend is real that we know is not. But then when something real breaks through, it's like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see like everything being sort of true and sort of not, and and then having somebody like Sandoval and Schwartz operating in those parameters, just like lying to each other, lying to themselves, lying to the audience. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing I wanted to say. One last thing. I know I'm going here. But I do think part of the reason that people are so mad at Sandoval, and it's like part of it is that they're mad that he did this to Ariana, and how could he be such a shit bag to her and lie for months about this. But the other thing is like he also lied and tried to make everyone in the audience, the viewers who like – had thought of him as this nice guy for the most part. He lied straight to our face, and we could see it every week, and we could see the bullshit every week, and now it's just impossible not to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, also, he's not making it... Now he has to account for a lot more complicated storylines, you know?
Yeah.
He has to do more work, because he's put himself into a situation where he has to reconcile... Yeah, people's perceptions of him, the perception of his relationship, the actuality of his different relationships, and that's a lot for a fucking big dumb idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's just not good at it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Lala, here, okay, I found it. She blurts out randomly to Dan, you've got a good body, good for you.
Oh, good for you, that's
good
right.
For you.
That's
good great. For you.
Good for you.
You got a good body, good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. Anyway, we're finally at the 1920s party. Everyone... Oh.
Thank
so
God.
Allie's looking very like prom-y, like kind of gothy prom. Katie looks like dommy.
Yeah.
And James looks like he's an extra in like Newsies or like a little chimney sweep. Schwartz looks like a broke magician, or like the Halloween Town version of a broke magician.
Yeah.
Sandoval looks like he's in Magic Mike, like you're about to like tear off the top of his.
I was also thinking he looked like Judge Dredd from, or Judge from
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Yeah, he looked like
Judge Dredd. Is that
his
it?
Name Dredd?
Judge? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Ariana probably looks the best. She's like a little bad little noir girl. She's got a little cap, a little hair back. She's got a little, you know, chunky shoes. They have the same shoes.
Yeah. Oh, the same shoes.
Oh,
God.
So crazy. God, I just wrote Schwartz looks like shit, especially next to Katie in the scene.
Yeah.
He literally looks like he is. I was just like, you are a waiter who hasn't slept in 3 days and is about to do a magic trick for a couple bucks.
He's got that weird derby hat on.
Oh, God. It's so tight on his head.
Yeah.
Schwartz comes up to Katie with a crazy idea that they have a one-night stand, but it's not sex. It's ordering room service and scrolling on their phones.
Here's the twist.
And it's getting the dopey music, so we all know it's dumb.
It's stupid.
Thankfully. It's not trying to be something that it's not. Katie's like, no. No. Why would I do that? No. But then Katie in her talking head says, one day, Tom... Because I think that Katie's very like grounded in realism, but then I hear something like this. Mm. She says, one day, Tom's going to wake up and realize I'm the one that got away.
Yeah.
It's like, you... That's the opposite of what you are. You guys got married.
No, he got you for a long time.
He got you, and then you broke up. Get away. You're not like that like crazy 2 week whirlwind romance. You literally lived with each other for 12 years.
Yeah.
He got you.
He got you. You did not get away. I mean, she did get away.
He got married.
I mean, she had to gnaw her own foot off to get out of the trap, but she did get away, but not in that way. Not in the one that got away kind of way.
Yeah, honey. No. Sandoval and Sheena break off to talk about the show, Kyle Chan's show. Sheena says, quote, I've never once done a sound check or rehearsed for a show. Yeah. No like she, shit.
Like she's proud of it. I've never rehearsed.
Yeah, like she's a consummate professional. She's so good. She doesn't sound
she doesn't
check.
Need it.
Or rehearse.
No sound checks.
It's like,
no.
This is, I'm not used to this.
She's like, she might as well have said, I don't sing either. I just lip sync.
Oh my God. It's like very
it's like
funny.
Microphone. Why do I need a microphone?
Yeah. I don't need that. Why?
I'm good.
Ha. Sandoval says, I know Dan is here and how he feels it's stupid that he's like not hanging out with them. And he says so sanctimoniously, I'm so happy she has someone. You are such an ass. Like, you're so happy that she has someone. And I heard her dad. Oh, great. Silence.
Another thing of just like another big production about how good of a guy he is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then Sheena says, I know she has a no contact policy with you, but the things you've said about her mental health and weaponized about her mental health deserves an apology. And I agree with that. And I'm like, yeah, along with the other things.
Yeah, along with
okay.
The 10 other
put
things
it on the list. Like, I guess, like, and again, Sheena, to her credit, makes a compelling point about this. But why does she think she's going to get through to this man right now? He has so many things to apologize for beyond this, and he doesn't feel remorse at all, really, anyway.
Yeah, there's no actual genuine remorse. He doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
He thinks he got backed into a corner and did what he had to do to get out of it. And he's cried more over Rachel this season than Ariana at all.
Yeah, he talks like he's her dad. And eventually he does say, after she was like, she did all this for you. She froze her egg. She all this to build a life. He's like, she didn't deserve that. That's the closest we've gotten to an apology is the end of this episode where Sandoval says, she didn't deserve that or something along those lines.
Man.
He cries a single tear they hug and they get back to their roaring 20s party. And that's the episode.
So hard to have a moment here.
Yeah,
it just felt, again, the sweatiness of it all. It's just...
God.
You know, it's tough.
It's also funny for someone who doesn't need a sound check or any kind of rehearsal how much they're talking about prepping for this show.
Tom's got to get all the stuff for her. You know, if without that, this whole event would not happen.
Mm-mm-mm.
So Tom's got a very important part to play in
very
all of this.
Very important.
And a very important reason for them to talk about it.
God.
Really...
In their stupid fucking 1920s jazz clothes.
God, Andy Cohen really does just need to make a broad declaration that 1920s
You get arrested.
Yeah, you will get kicked.
You'll get arrested.
You'll get put on pause.
You'll worse get than arrested. Oh, Dorinda might be on Traitors?
Yeah. Is that true?
I heard that. I heard that. Oh, Brian, breaking news. Brian breaking is hearing news. This.
I'm just finding out.
Right now. So let's leave it at that. Thank you all so much for being here. We will be back next week with another special guest before Jason gets back.
Yeah, I'll be gone.
But with his Tales of Jersey.
I talked a lot this week. Probably too much.
It was great. And you can edit out what you don't want because you are editing this. So it kind of works.
So you probably didn't hear most of it.
Go to VPR now. That's our social handle. DM me because you know it makes my day. And enjoy.
Just be careful with your words on what you say, because it will give her a big head. And
yeah,
and
I can be a monster.
Yeah,
I will be a monster. This one's
experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.